If you have a Bible today, let's go to Genesis 22, fourth week of our series. Some of you, I sense it. You're nervous. You're nervous with the other stuff, and you're saying, oh man, this guy, he speaks a long time. I'm nervous about what time we're going to get out of here. My belly's growling. Are we going to beat the Baptist to the buffet? I know what you're thinking. Some of you are going, gosh, Catholic Church already got out. Some of them probably went last night. It's a one service weekend. I'm used to contending with people at tequilas on Saturday night, not on noon on Sunday. What is going on? Let me just put all that to rest. Yes, you will be here a while. We have ushers at the back door to make sure you stay here. Is that illegal? Probably. We'll deal with that later. I'm a youth pastor at heart. We ask for forgiveness, not permission. God, thank you for your word. I pray in these next couple minutes or hours, whatever you want, God, that you would speak to our hearts. I just pray you would reveal truth of where we really are, God, in our lives. God, as we are on this quest and this process of becoming, this process of diving in, going all in, being all out for you. God, I thank you for the changes, the transformation that is happening in people as they come alive in their realization that they are son and daughter of Almighty God, and that the promises is for us, and it's not just for other people, it's for us. God, I thank you that that's coming alive in us. I pray that your word would be real to us today. It would meet us where we are. It'd show us the truth, because that is the great revealer. Your words are. So God, would you help us today? In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 22 is the story of Abraham. And that's a tough one. That's a tough one because Abraham goes through a lot of tests. And you and I don't like tests. I know, I remember being in school and test on Friday. There's nothing in my heart that went good with that. You know, my heart didn't leap for joy. Oh, I'm great. I'm at math. And how's geometry? I wonder where I am, because we don't like tests. But yet it's a part of following Jesus. That tests are good. It evaluates. It shows us where we are. And so 1 Peter talks about trials come to us because our faith must be tested. So if you're in the middle of something right now, a trial, a temptation, whatever you would deem it, you're in the right spot. It has to come. You're like, you don't understand my life right now. It seems chaotic. God says it's actually on purpose. And I know that's not fun teaching. I know that's difficult to hear, because we want our life to be smooth and nothing going wrong. And man, I just want it to be happy-go-lucky. Yet Peter's telling us, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. As if something strange were happening to you. How many times have you thought to yourself, man, what is going on with my life right now? What is happening? As if something strange was happening to you. He said, don't be surprised at the trials that the way you're being tested. When you follow Jesus, you're going to be tested. Don't be surprised by it. And then he says, listen, these trials, these testings, they work for us, not against us. Hear this. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. This is what it's revealing. Is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, how many trials? Oh, there's more than one? Yeah, there's many. Let's just end right now. It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Here's what he's saying. Listen, these trials are for you. You just may not on this side of heaven fully grasp it or understand it or see the fruit of it. That's difficult for us because, God, I want to see fruit right now. God, I want the results right now. God, if I'm being tested, what's my grade right now? He's saying, you may not even know this side of heaven. It may not even be revealed to you until Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. We don't like that. And here's the worst part. Trials and testings come to make us more patient. Some of you naturally in this room, you do not have to work at patience. Others of you, patience is difficult for you. Here's what I'm saying. As someone who struggles, self-admission, struggles with the tongue, struggles with overreacting, self-admission, struggles with being a reactor instead of a responder. My wife is a responder. Opposites attract. If we're both reactors, life is very difficult, but she is a responder. What does she do? She thinks through. She keeps her mouth shut. She's quiet. I, however, spew and throw it all out there. Responder, reactor. What am I saying? When you need more patience, you will probably go through more tests. So why am I comparing myself with a person who's already understood this, grasped it, is more patient? Because that's what Romans has told us. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. It's through endurance. Some of you, you go out and you run, and you can run a mile day one. Some of you, you're running a year and you still struggle to run 1 mile. You've done like couch to 5K and it's not worked. Some of you, you're just natural runners. You go out, you don't feel the effects of it. You're running like 13.1 miles. And some of you are like, can't even drive 13.1 miles. You're like, what in the world is happening? So it is spiritually. So it is with our personality. So there's things that you're not that is going to have to be developed. And one of those is patience. And we'll get into this. There's things in your life that some people are natural for. Some people don't have to work on that. Some people just, it just naturally comes to them. You are not. If you're a person that is shy in this room, you have to work on being outgoing, going up to someone saying, hey, how you doing? That's a struggle for you. Some people, you just walk into people just to you. We have to work on these things. Genesis 12 says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. Go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. He tells them four things right up front. Here's what you're going to have to do, Abraham. I'm going to do these great things. You heard the word bless. You heard he's going to be a blessing to the nations. But he told them up front, you're going to have to leave familiarity. You're going to have to leave your country. You're going to have to leave your family. There's going to be moments in your life where God is asking you to do that. Sam, you're there. God is asking you to walk away from the comfortable things. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your surroundings. God's going to ask you to do those things. That would be a test in your life. He also said to separate. Separate from your nephew Lot, the family heir who you have. He says there's going to be a moment of separation, whether that's people in your relationships with or people that you're family with. There's going to be moments of separation. He also said give up your plans. Genesis 17, he comes to him and says, Abraham, you're going to have a kid. We'll talk about that in a second. Abraham's 100 years old. His wife's 90. That would freak anybody out. But he already had a plan. He had Ishmael. So he's going, God, what do I do with Ishmael? Now you're telling me there's another son, but he's my plan. There's going to be moments in your life where God says, give up your plan and follow my plan. Amen. And they don't align. They don't align. And they're going to look different. They're not going to be the same. You're not going to be able to look at your friends who you have a lot in common with and go, we're similar. God spoke this to you. No, it's going to be different. And then he says, verse 1 and 2, and that's where we get to Genesis 22. Let's read. Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2 says it this way. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Who did? Hear that. God tested his faith. He said, Abraham, yes, he replied, here I am. Let me just stop there for a moment. When God speaks, don't fight him. When God says, do this, the three words that you and I should understand and grasp are, here I am. That will go well for all of us. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So understand what he's saying to him. Again, here's his son. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, the promise. Isaac, the promise. We have to understand this. We as people who follow Jesus are all called to prove our faith. All of us in this room. It's not enough to say, I love Jesus. It's not enough to say, I trust Jesus. There will always be a moment, and I think culturally as a church culture, as a nation, we've gotten away from the proving factor. God always comes back with a test because it's God who tests us and says, prove it. So I would say, be careful what you say. When you say, God, I am all in. I am all yours. God, I am whatever you want, I want. God will always come back and test you and say, prove it. There will be moments in your life where those things will have to happen more than your words and in action where he says, prove it. And so now here's Abraham. He's been given a son at 100 years old. At 100 years old, he was told he was going to father a child. Come on, somebody. 100 years old and his wife is 90. She is old. And now he's telling him against what he says in Deuteronomy about sacrifice. He's saying again, he's saying, listen, prove to me that you love me more than anything else. Take your son, not just your son, your only son. The only promise. We must, as we continue to read, purpose in our hearts to trust God, even when we that you're my father. Understand it. God does not come to us and say, prove to me that you love me and that you're my follower because you understand. He says, purpose in your heart to do it whether you understand or do not understand. That's us. Verse 3. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He didn't sleep in. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac, and they chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and they set out for the place that God had told them about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Listen, this wasn't overnight. This wasn't a couple hours later. This was 3 days of travel. This was 3 days of going there. This was 3 days of doing something. It didn't say he went to Quick Trip and bought wood. It said he chopped wood. He chopped the wood himself. Come on. He looked up and he said, stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further and we will worship there. And then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering. Where? On Isaac's shoulders. Hey boy, carry this. While he himself carried the fire and the knife. I just love that. Hey, I chopped the wood, you carry it, son. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide for the burnt offering, my son. And Abraham answered as they both walked on together. Now, understand this for a moment. There's a couple observations that you and I automatically get into. Getting your son at this moment to go anywhere with you is a good feat, right? It's like, my son is going with me on a 3-day journey, and there's no cell phones, and there's no Instagram, and he's not Snapchatting his friends. But the first thing he did was he got up and he went early. Listen, if you're not a person in this room that is a morning person, where's my morning people at? Come on, where's my morning people at? You are chosen. The Lord loves you more than anybody else. Forbes magazine says it this way, that the discipline of getting up early produces more positive results than anything else like this. Your more proactive approach to life, the ability to anticipate problems better, the ability to have better goal setting, time for exercise, sleep is much better when we go to bed early and get up early. You're more optimistic, you have more time to focus, and you have more time for your family. That's early morning people. It says that Abraham got up early. Abraham did not early. He did not throw a pity party. He did not say, God, why me? It says he got up early. He loaded the donkey. He put the food in the car. And he said, let's go. Let's go. It didn't say he waited till noon. I have always been an early morning person and a late night person. I don't require a lot of sleep. I don't need alarms. I don't need, my wife sets the alarm 4 times. It's like 6:07, 6:14, 6:18. I mean, I'm not even kidding. You look at hers, it's like this. I don't need any of that. I'm blessed. I love it. I like getting up. I sing in the morning. None of my kids do this. I love it. So that scripture comes alive because it says he did not wait. He did not hesitate. He did not sleep in. He instantly got up and said, God, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Listen, we cannot be people that hesitate. We cannot be people to be all in. Could you imagine what the devil was whispering to him? Could you imagine the temptation of what he was asking him to do? Could you imagine the struggle of what was happening? 1 John says it this way, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through what? Our faith. Listen, we're not going to understand, but our call is still to be faithful. It says in Hebrews 11 about him, about the hero of faith that was Abraham. It said it was by faith that Abraham did what? Offered Isaac. He didn't hesitate. You know why? Because Abraham trusted God enough that even if God was asking him to do it, and he did it, he trusted God enough that his plan, which was different than his, would still be good. I would even say it this way. Abraham trusted God so much that if he asked him to sacrifice it, he would resurrect him. And you and I, we hold on to things, and we're unwilling to sacrifice them. We're unwilling to put them at the altar because we like to hold on, and we like to say things like, God, I don't know that I trust you there. I don't know if that's what you're asking me to do. God, I don't know that I can give that up. There's always give up. No matter what, when you're following Jesus, there's going to be moments that God tests you to give up your Isaac. And that's the question. What is your Isaac? What is the thing that God is asking you? Are you willing to give it up? Because I can't hold on to these things and think that I'm all in. Because again, it has to come back to proving who I am and what I stand for. Listen, when the day you got married, you said a lot of great things. They were mushy. They were Hallmark card-esque. They were great. But as long as you keep being married, you got to prove it. You have to prove that. I don't know why we separate faith and proving and fruit that comes from our lives, because we throw things out like, well, I don't want to be judgmental. No, God's asking you to prove. This was a proving time. Last thing is, he sees our faith and we are rewarded in his time. We have to see this. God sees our faith. Verse 9 says it this way. When they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar. He arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. That is not comfortable. That brings up a lot of questions. The questions of your son, the wood that he just carried is now laying down on an altar, and you've placed the wood there, and now you've put your son on top of him, and you've roped him. You've put rope around him, and you've tied him to the wood. Picture a pig as it's turning. Your son is now there. Don't tell me that doesn't bring out questions. Dad, what's going on? It didn't say he carried Isaac. It said that Isaac walked and Isaac talked. That tells me he's old enough to go, what in the world is happening? And then Abraham went so far to raise the knife up. And as his son laid there, it says an angel of the Lord came and said, stop. Don't do what you're about to do. God has seen that you have been obedient to what he has asked you to do. Listen, there's going to be a moment where you have to prove that you're willing to go to the places that you said you would never go. And it might sound extreme. It may sound extreme that God is even asking you. It's a test. It's a test to see where you really are. Because we so many times like to tell people where we hope we are or where we think we are. And God says, I bring tests in to show you where you really are. And what you're going through right now, you're going, God must hate me. God must be against me. No, he's testing you. We don't like tests. None of us do. But it proves who we say we are. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way. He who knew no sin did what? He became sin for us so that we might be made righteous, be the righteousness of God in him. You and I, this is the proving that God became sin. He willingly laid down his life so that you and I could now be the righteousness. That means our faith is being tested. That means we're being tested. That means our lives are being tested and we're going through it. And the enemy would want to bring fear in. And God says, watch, faith overcomes fear. Faith overcomes fear. If I brought up a table and wood and I put my son on it, you would look at me and you'd go, what in the world are you doing? Though there's times when you have a teenage son, you're like, I'd like you to be Isaac right now. I'd go through with it. I will go through with it. The next time you talk back to me, you're Isaac and I'm Abraham. There will be no angel showing up. You watch it, boy. I was pretty sure DCFS would be called, right? Verse 15. I'll close with this. Isaiah, come back up. The angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me, hear this, and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? All because you have obeyed me. Listen, what are we missing out on? Because we're unwilling to obey God in. See, we want God to say these things to us. Oh my God, God will bless us. He who swears by his own name that he will certainly bless us. He'll multiply our descendants. We want all of those things. He says, but listen, here's the key factor in what Abraham did. He was obedient. He was obedient. So the question is, what is the most precious thing that you have in the world? And have you laid that thing at the feet of Jesus? If not, why have you delayed? Why have you delayed? What's the delay process? When we bring babies up on this stage and they're newborns or they're under a year old, they don't remember this day. You bring them up and you say, here's this baby that God has given you. And we dedicate that baby and we say, God, this baby is your baby. pick this baby to you. And we say, God, whatever your plans are, listen, you didn't get to pick how that baby would look, right? You didn't get to pick the color of the hair, if it got your nose or your ears. God did all that. You weren't checking off a list, God, give him my thighs or my legs or my feet or my... You didn't get to do that. They're God's gift to us. And we dedicate them and we say, God, they're yours. Do whatever you want. And there will be moments as parents, because you've dedicated your kids, that God will come in and say, prove what you said that day. That they are mine. Your kids are going to do things that you don't agree with, that you don't like. God says, are they mine? Have you given them to me? Do you trust me for your kids? Do you trust me for your life? Do you trust me for your plans? Do you trust me? If so, why have you not laid down your Isaac? Why are you so unwilling to give up some of those things? And listen, God may ask you to do something that you say, I don't even understand. Just be obedient. Because of what Abraham did, because of his obedience, that's when the blessing came. We are missing out on the blessings of Jesus himself because of our disobedience. And that starts with us proving that our faith is genuine by doing what we say we'll do. And not just singing a song, but living that song out. Guys, this is not the test. Inside this room is not the test. The test happens when you leave here. The test happens when life hits you in the face. The test happens when you go to work and it's not the environment you thought it would be. Welcome to the test. Our school isn't what you thought it'd be, or life in general. Or your plans that you had. God, I didn't think I'd be here at 40. What's going on in my life? And God's going, listen, the call is still be obedient. And what I'm asking you to do, I'm not asking you to understand it, I'm just asking you to walk in it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. God, I thank you for tests. I thank you for trials. God, it's an opportunity to prove that we believe what we say we believe in. God, we don't want to be people that just honor you with our lips but deny you with our lives. We want to be people that back that up. That's where fruit comes from. God, we want to be authentic. God, more than anything, we want to be obedient. We want to be obedient with what you've called us to do, and we're not trying to get people to understand it. We're trying to just be obedient to you. People will never understand it. So God, I pray for your strength today, because there's people in this room that are being asked right now to do some difficult things, maybe to leave their family, maybe to separate a relationship, maybe to sacrifice something really huge in their life. God, they need your strength today, because on their own, they'll say no. But with the power of your strength, by your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. God, those words all week, by your spirit, I will rise. It's not your spirit, it's God's spirit. On your own, you can't do it. On your own, you're defeated every time. It's because of what he's done that we can rise in victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. He's resurrecting your faith. He's resurrecting the dreams that God has for you. He's resurrecting the plans that God has for you. He's resurrecting even the Isaac that you laid down. God says, I'm resurrecting it. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've done. God says, I'm about to resurrect what has been dead in your life. There's some of you in this room, you're like, my faith isn't what it used to be. I saw faith stronger when I was a younger, or stronger a year ago, and things have happened in my life. God says, I'm resurrecting your faith today. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside every believer, every follower of Christ, every disciple. God, I pray that that Spirit would rise in this place, in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Can we just sing that together as you stand today? Let these words come alive in you.